Are you kiddos ready for a happy little adventure? Are you ready for a positive little time with happy endings? Let me tell you something real fast. Come here.
Too bad.
Welcome, boys and girls. Welcome to Mossy Chamber's Fun Horror Time. I am your delightfully disturbed host, Mossy Chambers. Welcome to my not-so-humble abode. Let's take a walk to my greenhouse, shall we?
Man, let me out! For the love of God!
Oh, Jeremy, do not interrupt my conversation with my new guest. You told me that you helped me grow this beautiful greenery here. Don't worry, I'll take off the cuffs soon enough. Each helping hand lends so much progress with fertilization. I apologize for the rudeness of Jeremy. He won't be able to interrupt us soon enough. Either way, follow me. I love the smell of poison oak in the evening. Ah, here we are. Roses. Vibrant, aren't they? Thank you, Jeremy.
You bastard!
Roses are quite the flower, wouldn't you agree? The symbol of passion and love. Yet, as beautiful as they are, the thorns can give you quite the prick, causing the same color to emerge, symbolizing pain. A beautiful contradiction. In this first story, our protagonist, Oliver, finds comfort with the scent of roses after the tragic death of his wife. But does he take this comfort a bit too far? We shall find out in The Stench of Roses. The time is 8:55 p.m. Green lights blur into streaks among the windshield while frantically driving to St. Mary's Medical Hospital. Oh, what a madman.
Oliver, it's coming.
We're almost there, honey. Just stay strong. Soon enough, baby Rose will be with us. A beautiful girl with a beautiful name, just like her mama. Hopefully without as much sass, though.
Right now is not the time to joke around, Mr. I'm so funny.
See? That's the sass I'm talking about. The large red cross swiftly comes up, directing Oliver to the emergency room. Soon enough, Mama Rose and Oliver are in, waiting for their first miracle to come. Hours go on, and he refuses to loosen his grip on his love's hand. All of a sudden, Oliver feels something peculiar. Her grip loosens. He hears the doctor speaking really fast as a few of them hurry off for much-needed equipment. A long beep pierces his ears, and everything blurs. One of the doctors grabs Oliver by the shoulder to escort him out, but he doesn't even hear the MD. The only thing going through his mind are flashes of memories of his dear wife. Within an instant, he recalls all the beautiful memories that they've had together. Like how she rejected him for the first few times after asking her out, and how he had to trick her into a date at a coffee shop where they got their first initial mutual spark, or all the times that they traveled across the world seeking adventure, collecting different exotic plants along the way as temporary souvenirs, or how on their way down after jumping out of the plane, she saw the words, "Will you marry me?" constructed out of thousands of rose petals. Cheesy. And how he laughed seeing her tears starting to fill up her goggles, the same goggles that protected her from the fast wind. She mouthed yes, and how he just chuckled to see those chipmunk cheeks parachute outward. Or how they tried for years to have a baby and was finally able to conceive coincidentally on the anniversary day that they met, as if it were a beautiful divine intervention.
Mr. Oliver, I'm so sorry to say that your wife and baby, well, they weren't able to make it.
He couldn't muster up any emotion to scream. He leaves, then soon enough, his hollow shell enters the new family sedan that now reeks of mockery. He contemplates, then decides to take a detour home that was once a daily commute.
Isaac's Liquor. I guess tonight we reunite, old friend.
You see, he promised Rose that he would stop drinking ever since the night that he blacked out and made some untasteful jokes to her family about how he'll always make sure to be with her by knocking her up. Sorry, that's actually kind of funny. But they did not find this humorous. This was shortly after they first started dating. And ever since then, they never fully accepted him, even after sobering up.
Oliver, is that you? God.
been, what, 5-6 years?
Hey, Isaac. How have you been?
Well, since last time we spoke, I got robbed only 7 times. A bit of an improvement from before. Can you believe this? When the cops came to investigate, I still had 300 in the hidden compartment at the register. After they left, it was gone. Protect and serve, eh? They served, all right. Served themselves. Oh, well. What's new with you, man?
Just some family troubles. I don't really want to talk about it. I'll just take a bottle of Walker Black, please.
You, Oliver, started a family since last we spoke. Congrats, man. It really is a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, here's 100. Keep the change. Put it towards putting up some cameras or something. I'll see you soon.
Hey, Oliver. Be safe, okay?
Yeah.
Oliver arrives home, heads to his backyard, and sits on the grass next to the rose bushes that he and his wife both had nurtured ever since they got the house together a few years back. A subtle pop sounds as he opens the bottle. He swigs a bit of the whiskey, feeling it go down like a warm nectar. After about 20 minutes, most of the bottle is gone. Why the fuck was it you two? Why does the universe have to take the 2 most important people from me? I would trade places if I could. Baby, please. Please visit me. And with that, he wastes the last few gulps and pours it onto the bush. He goes inside and then shambles up the stairs and falls into his bed, where he passes out still clothed. A week passes. Birds chirp. It's a beautiful sunny day and such an inappropriate ambience for the funeral. Oliver stands to make a speech. Her family sits with cold, bitter eyes at him.
We all loved Rose. And we were all excited to meet baby Rose. She was the most radiant, beautiful person in my life. As well with others, I'm sure. I know she will always be with us.
She would still be with us right now if you hadn't got involved in her life, putting her through danger, cave exploring, skydiving. I'm surprised she stayed alive as long as she did being with you. Remember that joke you said about how you'll make sure that she'll stay with you by getting her, how did you put it, knocked up? Guess what? You did. And it cost all of us her life.
The memories that we made together were amazing. I did not put her in any danger.
Yeah? Well, guess what? While you two were out making memories, it gave us, her family, no time to make any memories for our own. I don't even know what to say. We love her. I know you love her too. I do. But it's a fact that if it weren't for you, she'd still be here.
I'm very sorry, Mr. Miller. You're right. I hope one day, you, as well as your family, can find it within you to forgive me for what happened to your daughter.
And with that, the casket was lowered. Wow, Mr. Miller is kind of a dick, huh? Anyways, night falls and he finishes another bottle as he tosses it upon the ever-growing mountain of glass beside his bed. He takes his keys and leaves for St. Mary's.
Rose, what room are you in? I want to meet the bundle of joy. Rose! I have ideas for the nursery. Giant teddy bear, new wallpaper and horses, and other animals. Like a little zoo for our little monkey in her little sleepy cage. Rose!
Security walks up and explains to him that there isn't any Rose checked in.
Yes, there is. My wife just had a baby. I have to find her.
Security grabs him by the shoulder, but Oliver instinctually punches him in the face, knocking him down. Whoa, Oliver's kind of a badass. Police are called, and within minutes, he is arrested for public intoxication. He spends the night in jail, and luckily his car isn't towed. At court, he is sentenced to a month of community service, doing yard work at none other than the Hillside Cemetery, the same exact place where Rose is buried. Each day he goes in, he brings a rose from his garden and places it on his wife's grave. A week passes, and he ends his shift for the day. He heads home and goes to bed. His now oversized king mattress feels like a cold, empty prison. What's wrong with that? Hours upon hours pass by as usual, and with each blink, he can feel the sandpaper scrape against his eyes. Though, how could he sleep when he feels just as alone as the day of the tragedy? The air is still and stale, though there is a slight hint of something in the air, slowly coming in, then eventually filling his room with the scent of roses. Tears well up, quenching the thirst in his eyes. Warmth overwhelms his body as he realizes that his love is with him. He jumps up, and within that second, the smell is gone.
Honey, I'm here! Please don't leave!
He searches the house and finds that there's no one there. And though he's back to being isolated, he now feels that she is there watching him. He lays back down, and within a few minutes, he enters the best sleep that he's had in weeks. As each night comes, the scent keeps coming back, filling him up with such joy until one day, the aroma started smelling a bit off. It was still roses, but with warm tones of rot. Not enough to make him feel nauseous, rather, just enough to make him wonder what was causing it. Fast forward, it is his second to last day at the cemetery, and he places one last flower on her grave.
My dear, here's another flower. I want to thank you so much for visiting me each night. After tomorrow, I hope and wish you will still visit me, as I will continue to visit you. I love you.
The day comes to an end, and he tucks himself into bed, drifting off into a deep, intense sleep. Creepy. Oliver opens his eyes and the sound is gone. The smell of rot is all over, with only hints of roses at this point. He finally decides to follow it to see where it's coming from. He opens up his door and sees a trail of dirt and mud leading from the front door to the backyard. His heart beats fast with fear and excitement. There's too much anticipation. Could this really be his wife? Or is it an intruder? Either way, he presses on to find out. The moonlight guides him to the sliding door, and there he sees the silhouette of someone from behind.
Rose?
Yes, honey. We are here.
I've missed you. So much.
As did I.
A slight click is heard as he turns the back porch light on. In front of him is not the woman from his memory. It was the back of a woman with a torn white dress with mud stains and rose petals glued on with what seemed to be dry blood. You're not Rose! She turns around with a shuffle that seems to take ages. And there she was. It was indeed Rose.
Oh my God!
His eyes, they beheld a distorted version of his wife. Festering cuts on her from neck to scalp, seemingly to be caused by the flower's thorns. Her eyes, a yellow tint that had the slightest bit of mucus that held her eyelids together, causing a small snap every time that she blinked. And in her hands, the steelborn, cold, and unmoving, having the same thorn scars all over her. Mama Rose kisses the baby.
We both have missed you. It's been so lonely without you. Baby wants to say hi.
She holds the stiffkin up for him to see, and even though Oliver was disturbed by what he was seeing, he could not help but feel his love flood all over.
Oh, my dear baby, baby Rose. You look so cold. Come here. Let Daddy help warm you up.
He picks her up, holds her with a strong hug, and stays cheek to cheek with her freezing, lifeless corpse.
Oh, don't worry, little mamas. I'm here for you. Yes, I am. Daddy's here for you.
It is amazing to have this feeling again. I think we should all be together once more. Keep our family close, the way that it was intended.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
The next day, police are on their way to Oliver's home.
Hey, It's not too common this day and age that we have grave robbers, let alone corpse robbers. This guy must be sick as fuck.
Agreed, but are we even sure this is the guy that actually did it?
He's our only suspect. He was the last one to have access to the graveyard's equipment. Hell, the last name on the stone matches his last name, so I'm sure they're related somehow, if not married, or was married.
The police entered the front of the home, and their guns are drawn. Police! Oliver, if you're in there, open up. I'm going to count down from five. If you don't open, then we will force our way in. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Come on, boys. The officers break down the door, just to be wafted with such disgust. One man in blue ends up spewing on the spot.
Oh, Lord, no matter how long I've been in this field, I never get past the smell of corpses.
Man the fuck up. You should have expected that. He robbed a grave after all, and by the looks of the tracks on the ground, it leads to the backyard. Let's go. Holy shit. Call the sergeant! It was not what they thought they would see, nor wanted to see. There, in the rose bushes, was the dead body of Oliver, holding hands with Rose on his side, and the dead baby on his chest, all feeding the plants to have one last way to have their spirits live on together. Oh, I just love happy endings, don't you? I would say that was quite the family outing, what do you say? And that was the stench of roses. Get it? The stench of roses? We're not talking about the flower. So, the question is, did Oliver really get visited by Rose? Or was he not able to cope with the loss, losing his mind and actually stealing her body? That, my friends, you will have to decide for yourself. I want to thank you for visiting me here today. You survived! This time. If you liked what you heard, be a doll and help share this with someone else. If you have any questions or want to get a hold of me, email me at mossychambers@gmail.com. Until next time, good die.